Today's gospel is from the third chapter of Luke. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear fruit or produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." It's the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for the ability to gather here this morning to worship you as one, to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. Teach us to worship in spirit and truth. We thank you for your presence among us as well, Lord. You are true to your promises. You have promised that we are gathered in your name, you'll be there among us, and we are gathered in your, Lord. We claim that promise. So, Lord, let these words this morning, your words, speak to people, speak to their hearts, speak to their spirits, and change lives for you. Amen. There's a common theme through all the readings this morning: sharing. Something that we learned at a young age. It sort of warms your heart when you see little kids playing together, and instead of fighting over trucks or something like that, they're willing to share their crayons. Or one says, "Oh, you can use mine?" Yeah. Sort of gives you hope for the future, doesn't it? Maybe restores your faith in humanity a little bit. It's just really cool to see that. Is sharing something that comes naturally? Is it innate? Now, God designed us in many different ways, but we live in a fallen world, so which is the case here? To get the answer to that one, I talked to some experts, a panel of experts, daycare providers. They've seen kids grow up from the time when you got to hold them until they're ready to go to school, and even after that in the afternoon sometimes. And the response I got from all the daycare providers is that sharing has to be learned. It's not something that's just there within us. They have to teach kids how to share, how to take turns. So it's sort of neat that we don't have to take turns with God, that he can share with all of us simultaneously. I mean, billions of people, and he can be in relationship with each person at the same time. Yeah, he's that incredible. He shares his crayons with us. He shares more than that with us. If something is so important to us, shouldn't it have been designed into us to be natural that we would share? You'd think so. But sin is also within us too. You got to remember, we live in a fallen world. Paul in Romans 7 addressed that. He was talking about knowing what he wanted to do, the right thing, but being unable to do it. He says in part here, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but I hate what I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living within me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out." But we got something else living within us, right? We got the Spirit of God living within us. There's always, yes, that war going on within us, but if we submit to him, then he can use us for incredible things. He can use us to share himself through us. We live in a culture of self. You don't have to look very far to see how people glorify people that have achieved fame, maybe through athletic prowess or through musical ability. Or if they don't have music ability, they just create a controversy, you know, and then they can become famous through that, just by being controversial. And these people are glorified in music videos and popular culture and the media and things like that. And it's a culture of self. Or look what I've earned. I've got this fancy car. I've got these mansions. This self thing. It's quite the opposite of sharing, because they're just building themselves up. So that's something we have to rebel against here. And Isaiah 58, in the reading this morning, addressed that as well. It instructs us then to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer a shelter, and see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away your own flesh and blood. So some of these people that got these great mansions you see the pictures of, you know, they've achieved this fame, and they got many rooms in those mansions. Do they share them? They take people and, hey, I've got an extra bedroom. Why don't you just come stay in it? In fact, I've got 20, 30 extra bedrooms. What's God telling us to do? Share. Okay. There's a distribution problem. There's enough wealth out there. There's enough food out there. It's a distribution problem, right? We got stockpiles. I got more clothes in my closet. I got shirts I haven't worn in a while. I should be sharing. I find this convicting. God asks us to die to self so that we can share ourselves completely. We must decrease that he may increase. Giving versus sharing, there's an important distinction there too. We can certainly give if there's a need. We can write out a check, you know, to help flood relief victims and things like that. Or we can give, you know, money to the food shelf and things like that. But wouldn't it be more meaningful just to share our food, to sit down with that person, to share of ourselves and to share God in the process? You know, giving is good. Don't get me wrong. Giving is good. God gives through us. But to share, that is so much more. So instead of just giving someone a box of crayons, share yours. And there's something in sitting down and coloring with them, isn't there? There's a sharing in that. I even see that in school with my high school and college level students. We're usually about pretty rigorous math and everything in college chemistry, but I do have one part there where they're learning the sections of the periodic table and they sit down and then they color them. So I got these college students sitting down with the crayons and sharing the crayons with each other. Oh, do you have the blue? Yeah, can I get the orange? And they're just sharing, and there's something that about the crayons that brings out the kid and everybody, and it's just really neat to see. So I always sort of look forward to that activity. My students do too, because it's sort of a break from all the math and the theory and everything that we've been learning. It's good. So sharing, better than just giving. And God calls us to share. As individuals and even as a nation, it's sort of in our DNA as a nation. If there's a need somewhere in the world, the U.S. steps up. We send foreign aid, we send workers, we send help. We give of ourselves. This nation was founded on Christian principles. Unfortunately, we've strayed pretty doggone far from that. Yes, and we grieve that, and we pray for revival. We just pray that this nation would turn and repent and come back to God, that we can live in the blessing. It's still possible. It can happen. We got to make it happen. We got to open up ourselves that God can work through us. Just think if you're given $1,000 to share. Someone just gives you $1,000, say, here, share this. Just think about what you would do with that, what you could do with that. I would imagine most of us wouldn't just give it in one lump sum to someone. It would be more fun to take it in small portions and share as people had need, because you get that good feeling from helping someone and sharing with them. If you had $1,000 to share, just walking down the street, you see a need, and you help people with that. That'd be pretty neat. Well, I don't know. A lot of us do have $1,000 in a bank account when we think about it. But that's something we've earned, huh? It wasn't given to us. Big difference, huh? You think about being given something. You don't value it as much. We easily share $1,000 if it's given you to share. But if you've earned it, then it's mine. I've earned it, right? And I guess, you know, there's maybe some truth to that. You see someone that just graduating high school, they're given a car. Do they take as good care of it as someone who saved up all their lawn mowing money to earn an old pickup or something like that? Nah. Or if someone's given a college education, they could maybe not take it as seriously as someone that's putting themselves through there, maybe perhaps later in life. So it's easier to share what we've been given than what we've earned. I think that's very true. But we got to remember that everything comes from God, right? Freely you have received, freely give. If we, the what? Freely. Yeah, you'll get the reward of that good feeling, right? And that's not all you get. We saw in the first reading there, if you do these things, if you share, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, or in another reading, your righteous one will go before you. Your righteous one will go before you, clearing the path. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Nothing's going to come up behind you. The glory of the Lord's got your back. No one can see the glory of the Lord and live. Moses saw just a little bit of it as he passed by. His face, in the next chapter, shone, so he had to wear a veil, huh? Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and you will say, "Here am I." We call on God for help. And he said, "Here I am. What do you need?" Wow. Wow. It also tells us about sharing food, shelter, and clothing. Those are three of the four things necessary for survival in a wilderness situation. First of all, you want water, and then you're going to need food. You're going to need shelter and some sort of clothing. So we're just sharing survival with others. We're giving them the tools then, what's needed for them to survive. There's something to that. It'd be fun to be sharing food, like, I don't know, sometime be in a situation where you see a lot of people that have a need, maybe you're in an inner city, just go buy 24 hamburgers. Just start walking down the street and hand them out to people as needed. I'm going to do that someday, I think. That'd just be fun. But in doing that, just let them know, hey, God bless you with this. You know, give the glory to God. God is sharing through you. God is reaching people through you. He works through us, as Monica mentioned earlier. And those rewards will be ours. In sharing our faith, then, that's another thing we can share. God can reach people through his word, but are there people out there that don't pick up his word? Yeah, there are. Most of us, I would hope, pick it up every day. Maybe first thing in the morning to start your day, or throughout the day periodically. Let God speak to you. But for those that don't pick this up, how is God going to reach them? Through us. Amen. Through us. Your life should be a daily witness for him. If not quoting scripture directly, you should be living in such a way that God's grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness, and his love are flowing through you to others. That you're bringing others to Christ, that you are Christ's ambassador. That he can use you. Romans 12 tells us to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Every day, just, okay, here I am, Lord, I sacrifice myself to you, just use me as you see fit. He'll take you up on that in ways you don't even know or understand. He's going to share himself through you. So just by the way you're living, maybe you don't talk about it directly, but just by the way you're living, you can be sharing your faith and sharing God and his love and mercy, bringing that message to others. It's a pretty neat way to live. We share God's love. Each of us has a story about how his love has changed us. Maybe you haven't shared that story with someone else. Maybe you're not comfortable sharing in front of a group. You know, as a testimony, hey, that's all right. But maybe there's some individual out there that could benefit from that if you tell him or her what God has done in your life, how he's brought you through some things that you never could have done on your own. We've all been there, whether you realize it or not. You don't always directly see him working, directly see him helping you, but he is, always. We are also meant to share our lives. The reading in Romans this morning really addressed that, sharing our lives. There are some verses in there. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Loving one another. Sort of that golden rule, huh? Honor one another above yourselves, to be as a servant. You know, Jesus came to this earth. He was worthy of all power and glory and honor. Didn't ask for it. Instead, he served others. That's what he did. He gave us an example. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We need to be serving others above ourselves. Again, that self thing, huh? Someone had once told me the word selfish, too. What does it end with? Ish. Yes. Indeed. There's something to that. So, yeah, don't be selfish. Serve others above yourselves. In doing so, you're bringing God to them, and you're living an example, which, if they're not in the Word, they're getting the Word through you. Indirectly or directly. It also tells us to share with God's people who are in need. We've already addressed that, absolutely. Where you see a need, just step in and fill it. Sort of fun to help out behind the scenes too, anonymously. You know, you see that need, you know, take care of it. Practice hospitality, opening up your home and to others. It also tells us here, rejoice with those who rejoice. Something good happens to you. What's one of the first things you do? Pick up the phone and share it with others, right? And they get the fun of rejoicing with you. It's hard to keep it to yourself. something good happens. You just got to share it. Just listen to what's happened. How cool is this? You know, your first child is born or something. You're calling people like crazy, right? You're rejoicing. And when every child is born, actually, too, you're, of course, rejoicing. So it's something that you want to share. And you don't just keep it to yourself. And we have the privilege of sharing in other people's rejoicing. When something goes well for one of our brothers and sisters, we just share with them. We just rejoice with them. We're happy for them, and we're happy with them. Happy for them versus happy with them. Maybe one's giving, the other sharing again, huh? So if you come alongside them in sharing. So it tells us then to rejoice with those who rejoice. But then it follows up with mourn with those who mourn. And there's an opportunity we have as well, right? When someone suffered a loss, we can come alongside them. It's all about coming alongside when you're sharing. You're coming alongside. You're experiencing it with them. We've all experienced some loss in our lives, some more than others. But I think you would have to agree that it really helps to have brothers and sisters there with you, right? To share that experience. To mourn along with you. It's awkward. We've all experienced that too. Someone's suffered a loss. I know someone that did recently, and saw him in the hallway the other day at school, and or was it actually in the lunch line, and I'm thinking, how do I express that I care, you know? But there's that moment of awkwardness. Sometimes words, you know, can't really say it either. Sometimes the ministry of presence is the best way to go, just to sit there with them. Maybe to cry with them or else to listen to them, but just to be there. And by you being there, is God being there as well through you? Absolutely. Absolutely. Beginning, we're letting him share himself through us if we just open ourselves up. Another thing we can share is our time. For some of us, that's probably one of our most valuable resources, even more than finances. I've many times wished there were 37 hours in a day so I could get it all done. And if I'm giving up my time to someone, wow, I'm really taking something that I need and value. I asked my sons one time, not that long ago, how do you know when someone cares about you? Or how do you know when mom and I, you know, love you? What means, what shows it? You know, is it a hug or something physical? Is it our words telling you we love you and things like that? I said, no, it's when you spend time with us, when you put everything else aside and give us our full attention. Wow. Need to reprioritize my life a little bit. Think God's the same way? He's our Father. Does he like it when we spend time with him? When we set aside everything else and spend time with him? Yeah. We need to be doing that, prioritizing. How are we going to spend our time? If you're not setting aside some daily time with him and talking to him throughout the day, just sharing your existence, living with him. You don't even have to really, well, you should set aside time, you know, free of distraction for God. But you should also be spending time with him throughout the day too, just living your life. So all these things we need to share, we should also share our crayons. It's so simple, sharing crayons. Why do we make things complicated? Why can't we just go back to kindergarten and just share crayons? Even our relationship with God, we make it so complicated. It's simple. Spend time with him. Live with him. Let him live through you. But yet we create all these traditions and rituals and build these big cathedrals and complicating something that's so simple. We just need to share. Spend your time with him. Live in relationship. Share your life with him and with others. Let him share through you. One last thought here, I guess, is sharing joyfully. Yeah, you can be forced to share. Share your crayons. Okay. Even though you don't want to, you grudgingly share. We've all experienced that. I know I'm a dad. I've raised a lot of kids. Getting them to share, sometimes they share because they have to. Okay, I'm going to do this, but I'd really rather keep it to myself. I'm going to do it because I have to, because it's expected of me. Nah, God wants to share cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Not only giving finances, but giving of our time, giving of our lives, giving of our faith, giving of our possessions, giving of his love. Cheerfully. If he's changed your life, if he has changed your life, that should just naturally follow. There's cause and effect there. That should be an effect of him having changed your life that you just want to share with others. Do it cheerfully when you share. just remembering what God has done for you and say, yeah, God, I got it. I appreciate what you've done for me. I'm going to bring it to others. Almost makes me want to buy a box of crayons, put some in my pocket, and just walk around sharing with people, just telling them, hey, it's from God. Amen.